begin with number 134. 134. Lord of life, to death once subject, blesser, yet a curse once made, of thy father's heart the object, yet in depths of anguish laid. Thee we gaze on, thee recall, bearing here our sorrows all. Number 134. To Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he, that is Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. It's before me, and I trust of the Lord to spend this time together speaking about things. We're all occupied with things, and so is God. The Word of God is full of things for us to be occupied with, and life is full of things that we are occupied with, every one of us. And here in this brief little description of this house that the Lord Jesus visited one day, was this woman, Martha, who showed her hospitality to him, her interest in him, in inviting him to come into her house and to serve him there. And as she was serving the Lord Jesus in her house, her heart was not at peace. Underneath the surface of her service to the Lord Jesus and to others that were in the house, she was troubled. She was distressed because her sister, who was also there in the house and lived in the house with her, wasn't helping her, but she was where the Lord Jesus was, in the house, and she had sat down at his feet and was listening to him. And so in her distress, Martha comes to the Lord Jesus to, we'll say, complain about her sister's behavior and to ask the Lord Jesus to straighten it out and tell her sister Mary, Mary, get up and help me. I don't suppose she anticipated the answer that she got, but the Lord says to her, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Maybe you're troubled about some things in your life this afternoon, some things that are bothering you individually, whether you're a young person or whether you're in the final stages of this life. It's very easy for all of us to be careful and troubled about many things. The answer the Lord Jesus gives to her is an answer that I think at one time or another every one of us needs in our own lives when we are careful and troubled about many things. The Lord says to her, one thing is needful. One thing. We'll notice a number of one things, and this is one of them. One thing is needful. And Mary chose that one thing. What was it? She chose to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. Regardless of the circumstances of your life or mine at any time, that's one thing that is always needful in our lives. No matter what else has to be put aside, we all need one thing. All the time we need it. Every day we need it. We need to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. I just want to say for the young people this afternoon, don't simply think about this. I don't know what I'm going to say. Don't simply think about what I have in my hands as a book. It is more than a book. It is God speaking to you. I believe it. This morning, God spoke to me. In fact, we had a conversation. Did God speak to you this morning? Did you have a conversation with Him? I hope you did. When you pick up and read the words recorded here of God, they are God speaking to you. And no matter where you read in it, God has something in what He's saying for you to apply to your own life. And we all need to listen. We all need to listen to what God has to say to us. And as you listen to what God says, for myself, sometimes I'll stop and say, Lord, I don't understand what you just said. Help me to understand it. Or sometimes I'll say, Lord, I don't really like to hear that. There's something there that's speaking to my heart, or in that case, to my conscience. Or other times, thankfully, I can say, thanks, Lord. I'm enjoying that you're saying to me. One thing is needful. Choose it, no matter what. You might be, I don't know if there are any, but I think of this because I have a daughter at the present time who's nursing. And because she has a child that's only a few months old, she's up several times in the night. She doesn't get her normal night's sleep because she has to care or serve a helpless babe who can't live without her or someone else to care for it. Regardless, she needs, just like you and I need, to sit at Jesus' feet to hear His word. One thing is needful, and if we don't have that every day, we will spiritually starve. We have to have it. We'll have it for eternity. The food, we were talking this morning, about a new creation and a new life. Yes, this life that we live on earth is a physical life, and it has to have food to live. Can't live without it. We've received a new life from God, and that life has to have food too. The words of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Himself is the food of that life, and that is needful. One thing is needful. Let's go then to chapter 12. We'll look at another little place that tells us about some more things. Luke 12, verse 15. And He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods, or Mr. Darby translates it, much good things laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then, whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I'm going to go back and read in the New Translation the first verse that we started with. It says in verse 15, take heed, And keep yourselves from all covetousness, for it is not because a man is in abundance that his life is in his possessions. I say that because not very many of us in this room would be considered rich. But that isn't the point here. You can be poor by comparison to the person sitting next to you, but that fact doesn't mean that your life isn't totally absorbed in your possessions, the things that you have. I just want to, to back up here at a moment and say that possessions doesn't only mean physical things. Or I should say things aren't, I didn't say that correctly. Things, as the Bible uses the word, don't simply mean possessions. You remember when the Lord Jesus was talking to the two in Emmaus, they talked about the things that happened in Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus responds and he says, what things? They were talking about events that had happened as things. And so things that happen are things, as well as physical possessions and so on. And that's important, I think, to understand when we talk about things. Here's a man that accumulated a lot of things, and he was going to enjoy them. And it's a desire of everybody to be happy. There's not a person in this room that says, I want to be sad. All of us we're born with a desire to be happy. And we try to do those things in our lives that we think will make us happy. And here's a man that had a farm, and the farm was prosperous, and he accumulated many good things. And he said, I've got a lot of good things. Now what should I do? Well, no use working so hard anymore. I'll just build some bigger barns, and then I got a lot of years to enjoy. I'll step back and I'll enjoy. For commenting, you can keep your finger here, but let's turn over to one verse in Romans. In Romans chapter 11. Here's something this man didn't understand. And if you don't understand it, life will never work right. Whether you're young or old, it's important to recognize what this verse tells us. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 36, it says, speaking of God, for of God and through God and to or for God are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You'll never be happy for very long. Things will never work right for very long unless, as a creature of God, you learn and accept that everything, all things, are of God and through God and for God. He created this world. He created you for himself, for his own purposes and pleasure. And the only way we can ever get things right in our lives is when we accept that. For of him and through him and for him are all things. Nothing would exist except he created it. Everything is of God. Everything that is allowed to happen has to happen under his control. Doesn't mean that everything is good because man has sinned and rebelled against him, but the extent to which man can go, God always is over that and controlling of it. And everything ultimately is for him. Now, back at this man that we're looking at in Luke 12, he said, a certain rich man's ground brought forth plentifully. This man had a nice farm, and it was prosperous. And as far as that man was concerned, God wasn't in the picture at all. God didn't have to say anything about it. He probably got up in the morning and lived his day and went to bed at night, and God never entered his thoughts. When he was planning to do something, he said, "This I'll do." He never took into account God in his activities or his plans. God wasn't in his thoughts. He just, "I'm going to do it. This is what I want to do." That wasn't a very smart man. "I've got years to live," he said. Did that take God into account? No. God wasn't part of this man's life. He is, in another place, he's what the Bible calls godless. A man who lives without reference to God. Godless. Ungodly. So, he says, "I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do the other," and so on. What's God say to his life? "You're a fool. You're a fool. You can't leave God out of your life. Young person, older person, all of us. Do we leave God out of our lives? And can I say prosper with God? No. We might temporarily, this man for a while got along pretty well. But in the end, he got nothing. He wasn't rich toward God. And he lost it all in one night. God required his soul of him. There was nothing in his life for God, and all things are for God. And so God said, "That's it. You've had it. You're a fool. There's nothing for me in your life, and so I'm going to remove it." And God did. "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Everything in our lives has to be lived in reference to God, or it's wrong. It's wrong. I've been thinking a lot recently on my heart about prayer. And I'm just going to go aside for a moment when we're talking about everything has to be in reference to God. I found something recently that's been a help to me connected with prayer. I'll explain it this way. Suppose after this hour was done, I had it in my heart to leave this building and go to some in this shopping mall here and rob, steal something. Do you think I would talk to God about it ahead of time? If that's what my heart was set on? You know the answer. I wouldn't talk to God about such a plan. Here's the point. If there's anything in your life this afternoon that you can't fully and freely speak to God about, you need to stop and ask yourself if there's not something wrong in that thing. Isn't that a practical thing? Think about the activities, the things that interest you, the things that are important to you, the things that you think will make you happy or sad. If there's any one of those many things that you can't freely and fully communicate with God about them, then I would suggest to you that maybe you want to remove them from your interest list, from the list of things that are important to you. Here's a man that lived everything without letting it be of interest to God or to himself. Okay, let's turn over to chapter 18. Chapter 18 and verse 17. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, amazingly he could say, all these things have I kept from my youth up. I think the Apostle Paul could have, or when he was Saul, could have said the same. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Here's a man that just lacked one thing in order to have eternal life. And I believe what the message is, if you will, in this little story can be found. If you want to hold your place here, I want to read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, some verses that have already been read. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The words I want to emphasize in those, what's read here, is that they trust not in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Here in Luke 18, we have this young man, and he wanted something important. He wasn't like the rich man who had the prosperous farm and was ungodly. He just left God out of his life. Here's a man that comes to the Lord Jesus, and he wants something that'll last. He wanted to inherit eternal life. And he was sincere about it. And he says, what do I have to do so that I'll have or inherit eternal life? He tells things about himself. He knew the law, which if a man did those things, he could live by them. And he mentions half of the Ten Commandments. I want you to notice, though, in the five that he mentions, every one of them has to do with his fellow man. In the Ten Commandments, they can be divided into two groups: those that have to do with God and my relationship with God, and those that have to do with my relationship with my fellow man. And this man had an exemplary life. He had a life that was honorable among men. He was a person that he did everything right with respect to others in his neighborhood or whoever he, wherever he lived. But he doesn't say anything about his relationship with God in them. He wanted to do something to inherit eternal life, and he trusted in himself that he could do it. Important thing, any one of us in this room that trusts in ourselves, in what we can do, lack one thing. We lack one thing. We lack something that is fundamental to our relationship with God, who is in charge of all things. We are not to trust in the uncertainty of what we think we are or we think we or what we have. It's not going to work. He that trusts in his own heart, it says in another place, is a fool. Everything is out of order, and if we lack one thing, and what is it? It is a trust in the living God. It's a trust in the living God. This man was put to the test about that. Did he really trust the living God for his eternal life and everything else? The Lord Jesus puts him to the test. He says, go, sell, give away everything you have. Whew, that's a big test, isn't it? Because if he didn't have anything, he wouldn't have anything in himself to trust in anymore. He could only trust in God. But he lacked that one thing. He looked at his possessions. He looked at what he had. He was very rich. He had more than many, maybe more than most. And it doesn't say, but we can see from what Timothy tells, or Paul, when he's speaking to Timothy, says, teach those that have a lot, admonish them not to trust in what they have, but to trust in the living God. Whether we have a lot or whether we have a little, we all have to learn the same lesson. We need to learn fully and completely to trust in the living God and not in ourselves. Not to have confidence, Paul says, or trust in the flesh. We have a human nature that wants to trust in itself because it gives honor to itself. But everything in this world went wrong as soon as man trusted in something other than God. God said to the first man and woman, if you eat of the fruit of that tree, you'll die. He could have said, trust me about that matter. It's true. Receive my testimony that what I say to you is true. Satan comes into the garden and he says, you will not die. And man is put to the test. Is he going to put trust in God? Or is he going to believe a lie and put his trust in what the serpent said? He chooses not to believe God. He chooses to believe Satan. He acts in disobedience, and everything from that moment to this has flowed from not trusting fully, completely in God. Let's turn over now to chapter 24. Chapter 24, verse 13, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned about the things that had happened, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself." I'd like to apply these verses in a matter of encouragement and test too. There are many times in most of our lives when we would say we're discouraged